before, and this morning he tweets it, that any deal on DACA that would protect so-called young dreamers will have to include strong border security and funding for a massive border wall. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, everyone. Wayne Allyroot. Let's talk about your health. There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Nutritionists have debated this for years, but luckily there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus from our friends at Purity Products. I take it and I love it because it combines ultra-pure fish oil for your heart and krill oil for your joints together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful it can promote your cardiovascular health in ways your doctor will love. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just 7 days. So you will feel better, guaranteed. Purity is so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, they want to send you a free bottle to put it to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay a little shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. That's 800-399-6392. Call now. 800-399-6392.
Details could be released later today in the investigation of the 1981 drowning death of actress Natalie Wood. The L.A. County Sheriff's Homicide Bureau saying last week that Wood's husband, actor Robert Wagner, who's now 88, is now a person of interest in her drowning death, but they have not yet released further details. Her death had been controversial from the start, with few details ever released about how she ended up in the water after going sailing with Wagner, actor Christopher Walken, and the boat's Captain Dennis Davern. America's top diplomats considering sanctions on oil imports from Venezuela. Speaking in Argentina, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said the Trump administration is considering limiting imports of oil and restricting exports of refined oil products from the U.S. to Venezuela, the sanctions to put pressure on Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Singer Paul Simon announcing a farewell tour this summer that will start in May and make 17 stops in the States this summer. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyroot. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Former USA Gymnastics and Michigan State University Dr. Larry Nassar will face yet another sentencing hearing today, the third and final such hearing, as Nassar will be in court in Eaton County, Michigan, after his sentencing last year to 60 years in federal prison for child pornography and up to 175 years in Ingham County, Michigan, just over a week ago for sexually assaulting over 160 young women and girls when he was USA Gymnastics team doctor. A ship has vanished in the Gulf of Guinea, as we hear from USA's Wendy King.
An oil tanker carrying 22 Indian crew members and thousands of tons of gas was reported missing off the coast of West Africa, according to India's foreign ministry. The merchant vessel Marine Express went missing off the coast of Benin in the Gulf of Guinea. It is believed the ship, carrying 13,000 tons of gasoline, may have been hijacked by pirates. Nigeria's Coast Guard is also looking for the ship.
And Kylie Jenner is welcoming her first child, the reality star announcing yesterday a very private birth of her daughter last Thursday. The newborn is the first for the youngest Kardashian-Jenner sibling and rapper Travis Scott. They have not announced the baby's name yet. The child was born in Los Angeles at the same hospital where sisters Kim and Courtney had their kids. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Federal investigators focusing on an improperly aligned track switch in their investigation into a deadly train crash in South Carolina early Sunday morning. The head of the NTSB saying on NBC this morning that the track switch routed the Amtrak train onto a track where a CSX freight train was parked.
It appears that that switch, the rail switch, was in a position that it was not intended to be in.
But NTSB Chairman Robert Sumwalt says they'll look into all possible factors in the crash. Two crewmen aboard the Amtrak train were killed, and over 100 people on that passenger train were injured in the crash early yesterday near Columbia, South Carolina. President Trump has said it before, and this morning he tweets it, that any deal on DACA that would protect so-called young dreamers will have to include strong border security and funding for a massive border wall. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, everyone. Wayne Allyn. Let's talk about your health. There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Nutritionists have debated this for years, but luckily there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus from our friends at Purity Products. I take it and I love it because it combines ultra-pure fish oil for your heart and krill oil for your joints together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful it can promote your cardiovascular health in ways your doctor will love. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just 7 days. So you will feel better, guaranteed. Purity is so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, they want to send you a free bottle to put it to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay a little shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now, 1-800-399-6392. That's 800-399-6392. Call now, 800-399-6392.
Details could be released later today in the investigation of the 1981 drowning death of actress Natalie Wood. The L.A. County Sheriff's Homicide Bureau saying last week that Wood's husband, actor Robert Wagner, who's now 88, is now a person of interest in her drowning death, but they have not yet released further details. Her death had been controversial from the start, with few details ever released about how she ended up in the water after going sailing with Wagner, actor Christopher Walken, and the boat's Captain Dennis Davern. America's top diplomats considering sanctions on oil imports from Venezuela. Speaking in Argentina, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said the Trump administration is considering limiting imports of oil and restricting exports of refined oil products from the U.S. to Venezuela, the sanctions to put pressure on Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Singer Paul Simon announcing a farewell tour this summer that will start in May and make 17 stops in the States this summer. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Former USA Gymnastics and Michigan State University Dr. Larry Nassar will face yet another sentencing hearing today, the third and final such hearing, as Nassar will be in court in Eaton County, Michigan, after his sentencing last year to 60 years in federal prison for child pornography and up to 175 years in Ingham County, Michigan, just over a week ago for sexually assaulting over 160 young women and girls when he was USA Gymnastics team doctor. A ship has vanished in the Gulf of Guinea, as we hear from USA's Wendy King.
An oil tanker carrying 22 Indian crew members and thousands of tons of gas was reported missing off the coast of West Africa, according to India's foreign ministry. The merchant vessel Marine Express went missing off the coast of Benin in the Gulf of Guinea. It is believed the ship, carrying 13,000 tons of gasoline, may have been hijacked by pirates. Nigeria's Coast Guard is also looking for the ship.
And Kylie Jenner is welcoming her first child, the reality star announcing yesterday a very private birth of her daughter last Thursday. The newborn is the first for the youngest Kardashian-Jenner sibling and rapper Travis Scott. They have not announced the baby's name yet. The child was born in Los Angeles at the same hospital where sisters Kim and Courtney had their kids. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Miola with Get Healthy Hunterdon on your radio station with the Hunterdon County Chamber of Radio. Oh, okay. This afternoon's weather forecast is sunny with a high near 35 degrees, northwest wind 1 to 16 miles per hour with a gust as high as 32. We've got a great show today. I've got George Lake from Thistle Creek Farm, and he's put together an amazing process where we're going to be looking at sustainable farming and how to get mob grazing like buffalo herds of the earlier days used to be, and just an incredible process that goes on. So with that, we're going to bring George on now. So here we go. So, George, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, very good, George, and welcome to Get Healthy Hunterdon with Dr. Miola here in beautiful Hunterdon County, and I just want to welcome you, first of all, to the show, and we're ready to get started. So what we'd like to start with is tell us a little about yourself and how things are working out there in the beautiful farm that you've got going on there.
Well, we started farming the way we did 30 years ago because I knew that conventional farming just wasn't the way. My mother was very much into organic farming. My dad was more conventional. So I wanted to go with the organic, and I wanted to bring the earthworms back. I realized that we were devoid, as are most farms, of earthworms in pastures and fields. So I studied earthworms first just to see how to bring them back and keep them alive rather than using sprays and fertilizers that killed them. And in the process got huge amounts of microbes and beneficial fungi that really make the soils work without putting any fertilizer on. And as the soil scientists say, there's nothing here that we could actually add because we bring, with the tap roots and the mob grazing, all the nutrients up from down deep in the soil, the minerals, and the crushing effect of many, many hooves. We shoot for a quarter million pounds of hoof pressure per acre day, and then on the move, just like the buffaloes did, tramping a lot of organic down into the soil where the microbes and earthworms can feed in their environment. And it has really made very productive, very nutrient-dense soils.
So, George, this is the amazing thing that I find in all that. There are ways of natural farming out there that you don't have to be ladling the ground, the earth, the farm fields and everything with all kinds of insecticides, pesticides, fertilizers to be profitable in the farming industry.
Yes, that's very true. And it's hard to get away from that when you've built your system on that, but we just decided that we were making a complete change and we were going to be basically frontier farmers. We were just going to use even weeds, like some weeds have a very deep taproot that will bring a lot of minerals to the surface. And you can tell by how quickly the cattle will go to some of those weeds, like burdocks, that they are rich in carbohydrates and sugars and proteins, even more so than some of the plants that we intentionally put out for them to eat.
Isn't that something? And so here, Mother Nature, in her infinite wisdom, provides everything that these animals need and stuff. And you've got a farm that's got what? You've got cattle, you've got sheep, chickens, goats, pigs, everything on there.
Yes, yes, and they all. And we run our sheep and cattle together, which is a nice mixed species. They eat different types of plants, and so they combine well. We run them separately. We run them together. There's a romance to this type of farming. It's just out there every day. Most days, nothing is turning here on the farm except maybe a four-wheeler that's taking our border collies out to work. We do a lot of tours here. It's just a beautiful way, picturesque. There's a lot of romance the way we farm.
Isn't that something? And so here you've got these herds of beef cattle, I believe, is what you raise out there and all.
Yeah.
And so you've got them mixing with sheep and everything else like that. You've got the collies that are helping you to kind of control those sheep.
Yes.
Okay, so that's always good. Now, tell us more about how you can have productive soil and great crops that'll sustain these herds and make a wonderful product in as far as the meat that comes from them.
Well, when I came home, we actually have an abandoned sand quarry. It's been abandoned for almost 100 years, and there's really no topsoil on that ground, even though it's just woodland now or woodlot. And just across the fence where we've been stomping organic matter in for 30 years, we have a very rich, dark soil. One side looks like mortar-quality sand, which it is. The other side of the fence, not 10 yards away, is just black loam, full of nutrients that the earthworms and the microbes have brought up from deep in the soil. And you can even see the soil sciences will show you how the root structures, the synergy of microbes in the root structures and the capillary action of earthworms bringing all those minerals from deep in the ground. You can see why you don't have to plow your soil, because the earthworms in vast numbers like we have, and they think we have more than 400 pounds per acre.
Isn't that incredible?
I think we do. You can't turn a spade without having 10 to 20 earthworms on that spade, and it's all very nutrient-dense. You don't have to take as many supplements when you're eating from nutrient-dense soils like this, and you get a much more of an eating experience, very flavorful type of product.
Mm. Now, tell us, the cattle and the livestock moving across these pastures and stuff, that actually does the churning and the mixing of all the nutrients from above, the middle, and below the soil levels and all to bring those nutrients together so that you have a better crop of, say, grass or alfalfa or wheat or something?
Yes, we basically harvest in sunlight. We want the cattle to go into grass when it's about 18 inches high, eat about a third of it, tromp in about a third of it, and have another third that's already started the photosynthesis to regrow. And then the cattle move on to the next section. We move them up to five times a day, just like a buffalo herd would always be on the move and never coming back. And because we never come back to that field for a minimum of 35 days, there's no parasite that lives that long, so parasites don't get rehosted. And so we have a clean herd without using parasite control, and the vets here will tell you exactly that, because we have tested every year. And we have then insects like dung beetles that you don't find in most farms, because the parasite control will kill the dung beetles that want to live in that dung pile. Everything works together, from the littlest insect to the biggest plant and animal on the place and the microbes. It's just the synergy of it all is just impressive to be able to be a part of.
That's amazing. And you had sent me over some photos of the farm there and all, and you've got a line of all these cattle, and then there's, I guess, a fence, and then there's this huge growth of grasses on the one side, and then you sent me a shot of, a monarch butterfly perched on a thistle weed, yes. Which most people would say, oh, get rid of that thing and all, but here you've got them growing prolifically on the farm.
Yes, we don't spray off the weeds. Actually, there's and thistles the cattle don't eat, but almost every other giant ragweed, all burdock, stinging nettle, all those weeds the cattle eat real well. And if you were to dig those up, and you have to dig pretty deeply for some of them, they have some big tap roots, which is bringing up things that your normal grasses might only be going down 6 to 8 inches. We plant a very old type of alfalfa that will taproot way down in the ground, 5 and 6 feet,
jeez,
and bring up minerals as well. And we plant it just for that reason, to get the things that are deep in the soil that a lot of farms have a hard pan that even a root can't get through. And we don't have any of that, because the organic matter just softens up the soil. It retains so much rainwater. We can have a thunderstorm here, it'll run off other farms, and we have no runoff, which, keeps the streams clean and healthy as well.
Isn't that something? I know growing up here in Hunterdon County and stuff, you know, I grew up with, you know, the cows wandering down to the streams and, you know, urinating in it and things like that.
Yeah.
And over time, everybody was complaining about, oh, you know, it's polluting the streams, polluting the streams. And then we've come to find out the polluting of the streams was actually from these golf courses using their insecticides, pesticides, fertilizers to keep that grass on those beautifully manicured lawns green and all.
Yes, we keep the cattle out of the streams, but yes, you're right. A lot of lawns, especially the ones that have lawn care, they put things on really heavy that you couldn't actually even afford to do on a farm if you wanted to do it, but we do none of that, and we have no runoff because the ground has become like a sponge over the years that we've been stomping. And factors, there's great charts out there that you can see from the traditional farm that can only absorb about a half an inch of rain water in an hour to ones like here where you can absorb up to 10 inches of rainwater in an hour without
runoff.
That's
incredible.
Yes, it's a huge difference.
Now, one of the other things I noticed living where I do and stuff, we have a lot of developments and all, and we call them mini mansions and stuff, and they're all manicured by these lawn care services. And one of the things that I noticed, like, that's different from their lawns and my lawn, I don't use any kind of fertilizer, insecticide, pesticides on it because I raise honeybees.
Yeah.
And the thing that I notice is at nighttime and stuff, I've noticed a dramatic increase over the past 20 years of lightning bugs.
Yes. 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 When you run a perfectly manicured, perfectly clean, no weeds lawn and that stuff runs off, it's going right into the drainage system. There's not even a buffer along a stream where, you know, to prevent that. So that really loads up waterways, and I do hate to see that. But, yes, the lightning bugs, we have them here. They come out of the grass at night in hordes. It's just fun to watch. When things are not sprayed and fertilized and, you know, try to maximize production, you just get a lot more synergy, a system that works so much better, and it's sustainable.
That must be an incredible light show that goes on when dust starts to set in over there at the farm.
Oh, we go out oftentimes just to watch the light show.
Jeez. So how would a general farmer here in Hunterdon County start making the conversion of, you know, using the heavy fertilizers, insecticides, pesticides over to a more natural packing organic matter and sustainable farming that would be profitable?
Well, it takes a little bit of time, but what I like to do is, like, I'll have people ask me if I'll start running cattle on their farm, and if they're close enough that I can do a cattle drive down the highway, we'll do that. And we come in. I had one man ask me if I could just put a few animals on there. I said, no, if I can get to your place, I want to bring a mob. And his fields that were worn out, you know, just worn out fescue type of grasses, and 2 years looked like a hay field. He could not believe what I did. And I'd only be on his place for like 5 days.
Oh, geez.
So I'd be across his place and the cattle would be off. And then I'd come back maybe 90 days later and do it again. And he's farmed all his life. And he was just shocked at what I could do with a herd of cattle.
And this is just incredible. And here you're using, you know, just what's naturally out there and stuff. You know, the earth, you know, getting those the livestock to run across there, dig their heels in, twist them, move that organic material up and down and in and out and all, allowing it to be more porous to the water so you get that mixture going in and all. That's got to be an incredible charge for you just to see how you can convert a dying farm field into something very, very prolific.
Oh, it's exciting to see. And we really shoot for no bare ground. We don't want bare fields in the wintertime. We want all those microbes and the fungi covered as much as possible. And sometimes you'll have places where too many cattle stood in a rain, which heals itself really quickly because you put an organic matter down there even faster. But it's exciting to see, and actually to do it for somebody else is quite exciting too, to see the shock on their face, to see what can be done with cattle and sheep.
That's great. We had a gentleman on here earlier and stuff that's from the Brick Farm group and all. And I understand that he's invited you to come out here to New Jersey to do a talk this Thursday night.
Yes, I'll be there Thursday night.
And that'll be at the Brick Farm Tavern, which is in Hopewell, New Jersey there and all. I think it's February the 8th at 6 p.m.?
Yes, it is. I know it's February the 8th at the Brick Farm Tavern. I think it does start at 6.
6 o'clock. Okay, very good then and all. So you'll be talking about some of these similar things that you were referring to here on the show?
Yes, I will be. And I'll be talking about the benefit in the flavor of the product and also the benefit in the health and the healthiness and the things that you will get in a product like that. It doesn't matter if it's eggs or beef. You know, you get that nutrient density right into what you're eating and cuts down on the things you have to bring to your body through supplements and such.
See, so with our program, with the Nutrimost program, we use a lot of plant-based whole foods in the products and all. And so this would be a natural tie-in for all of that.
Yes, and if you plant behind our cattle, actually when I came home years ago where the quarry was, when it was being farmed, my dad would get 37 bushels an acre on non-GMO corn, and we still plant non-GMO corn whenever we plant corn.
Mm-hmm.
37 bushels an acre with maximum fertilizer. Now it gets 170 to 180 bushels an acre with the same non-GMO corns, same open pollinated corns, with no fertilizer, just because of all the organic matter and all the nutrients that are in the soil. So it helps the plants as well as the animals.
That's incredible numbers, George.
Yes, it is. It's huge.
And so a farmer hearing something like that and seeing the numbers and stuff, that would be a profitable farming organization then?
Oh, yes. Penn State, who used to kind of think the way a farm was nuts, now comes out here with big buses with professors on the buses, and the National Resource Conservation Service comes with people from all over the state. They want more and more people to farm like this because they see the benefits to the waterways, to the environment and wildlife, and for the farmer. Much less cost of input. And when you get it up to speed, there's just so much less input to the land.
That is incredible. Can you talk a little bit more about, you know, the benefits of it to the, you know, the meat and the eggs and, you know, just the products that come off of like a dairy farm and things?
Yes. There's so much more nutrient density in the soils that it just comes out in the flavor even. We have one of our sons, Flies for United, he lived in Washington, D.C. with an older couple, and they didn't charge him much. So I would send meat and eggs down, and they were always into organic eggs that they bought at a local place there. And they decided to have a taste test one day because ours were so orange compared to the yellow ones that they got. And they asked our son, well, why are they this orange? And he said, well, I don't really know. I guess because they're eating insects and grasses and so on. And so they did a blindfold taste test. All four people said our eggs, and they were organic eggs that they were taste testing. Ours tasted, the ones they had bought tasted like plastic compared to ours. And they are very clean. Organic is very clean, I have no doubt about it. But if you don't have the nutrient density in the soils, you're not getting the same amount of vitamins and minerals in there to add to the flavor. So just that alone makes a product much more fun to produce and sell, because you know people are going to be satisfied with what they're getting.
Right. Isn't that something? Just, you know, doing something that's more natural, more healthy and stuff, and you take a much more pride in the product that you're producing than at all.
Yes.
Oh, that's incredible. So, George, tell me more about your particular farm out there. You're on Thistle Creek Farm. So how big a plot is that, and how many head of each do you have out there, and how do you move things around?
We run 400 acres of grass. We have some more land, but that's what we do, all in grass. We have some woodland and so on. 400 acres of grass, 600 head of Devon and Angus beef, all grass all the time. And then we have about 120 sheep that are in with the cattle often. Right now they're separate from the cattle, grazing in a different area. And even for our wintertime feed for our feeders, we only make baleage in sunlight in the summertime. So you're getting all the omega-3 oils, the CLAs, which in dry hay actually go out of the product. So when we need to feed in the winter, and we're actually still grazing, we'll use baleage that is really pickled grass, fermented grass. And it has all the benefits. I mean, we're really particular about what we do. We want to, I'm a little over particular sometimes, but I really like to put a good product out there so I don't have to worry about somebody thinking it could have been better. So it only goes, it's kind of like fine wines. If it's not ready, if it's not marbled, it doesn't leave here.
Isn't that something? George, how did you learn all this?
Well, when I first started, there was nothing written about it. I've written for some international magazines, and I speak a lot around the country and around the state. But when I started, there was nothing. But I didn't really have any money when I came home from the Marine Corps, and the cattle had four legs, and I only had two. And I'm thinking, there's got to be a way to make them do the work. So instead of bringing feed to them and harvesting and having the equipment, I started taking the cattle out to the grasses, and then I started studying the earthworms. Actually, I studied the earthworms first and studying different types of grasses. We get grasses that are sourced from all over the world. We get them from New Zealand, from Romania, from Ireland, from the Czech Republic, and from Denmark. And they're all grasses, improved grasses that cattle really do well on. They have no endophytes in. In fact, one of the reasons we keep them moving is they'll eat it right to the dirt if you let them.
Right.
So we want them moving. We'll move them up to five times a day because we try for, like the picture I sent you is I'll move them four times. They'll all be along a fence line like that, just getting the newest grass, moving past where they'd been, and into something new. They're fun to work with, and we're animal lovers, really. That's how we got into the business as well. Just like being out there every day. I don't know if you got that picture I sent in the snow, but even out there in the snow like we're doing right now, it's just fun to be out. Yesterday I was out in that heavy snow here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that photo you sent me. Yeah.
Yeah. And fun. Just fun to be out there with them.
Isn't that incredible, though? And to move, like you said, though, it's a very natural, very easy process that goes along, and you move them, like, you know, that many times a day and stuff, so you don't get a lot of overeating, over-stimulating of the earth and stuff. It's just you've got the right balance and everything.
You go through. It is a disturbance, but then the earth gets to start healing the very next day instead of having cattle just out in the pasture where they're actually not increasing anything, really. They're not. It just doesn't work that way. It's much better to have the action of a herd moving. In fact, if you just put cattle out on a grass pasture and let them, that will be a difficult product to sell a second time because it doesn't have flavor. In fact, it's usually pretty tough. It's just not the way to do it. It's picturesque, maybe, but the big herds moving constantly are a much better way to do it, much more natural. You study the lands that out west that they're having difficulty with now. They didn't have those difficulties when there was buffalo herds because they ran in such big groups. In the Lewis and Clark Journal, it said that they had to wait for 3 days one time for a buffalo herd to pass. I can't imagine all that organic matter that they were eating would have been, you know, was left over, would be tromped into the ground where the microbes and earthworms could be doing their thing. I tell people at my talks, if you feed the livestock in the soil, the microbes and the earthworms with that organic matter, they will take care of your livestock on the soil.
Isn't it something that's so profound and stuff, and it's such a simple statement, but it makes so much more sense about it.
Oh, yes. It's such the synergy of it all. The way it was meant to be is fantastic.
So, George, how is it when you get this busload full of these PhDs and professors students going for their master's degree in soil engineering or soil science and stuff, coming to your farm, and here you are telling them how to do it.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating. The first time they came in the bus, I thought it was students. I didn't find out till most of the way through it that they were all professors, and it was a field day for them to come out. And one of them was a person that actually had come years and years before just because he saw what I was doing. He wanted to show students why he didn't think it would work. He was taking pictures, and I could tell when he was taking the pictures, he's thinking, there's no big equipment here. There's no way that you could keep this working. But now he's done a total turnaround. He asked me to speak. He asked me to speak in Baton Rouge a couple years ago for the National Forage Conference because they see Penn State is actually mimicking some of what I do here now on their field. They're doing studies now on all of this because we're only 20 miles away from the main campus.
Oh, so
they
okay.
Can come out here and study and get to see what. It's interesting. They come here, they borrow cattle from us to take over and do grazing demonstrations. And it's quite interesting, the turnaround. And all the big ag schools are starting to get a lot more into this because it is sustainable. You don't have to have, we have very little equipment. And we don't even have a manure spreader. We have that many animals.
Oh, wow. That was like the standard thing of any dairy or any kind of farm and stuff. You had to have at least one manure spreader.
Right. We have none, and you can come to this farm. You can walk right into one group is 400 heads. You can walk in there. You won't smell any odor. It's a much more natural rate of gain. You know, we're not trying to get the feedlot 5 and 6 pounds a day. We're trying for a very natural 2 pounds of gain a day. We have the animals longer. They're here for if they're going to market, they're 24 months old instead of 14 or 15 months old.
Oh, wow.
And our cattle, we've had mama cows here till they're 22 years old. So, you know, most of them are done by 18, but that's way longer than like a dairy farm. They're
yeah.
done 4 and 5 years because we're not pushing them hard. It's much more natural.
Isn't that something? You're letting nature take her course, and you're getting in, like you said, it's a more profitable farming experience both for you and the animals that you're working with and the land that you're working off of.
Yes, yes. And it's very picturesque. I invite you out here. It's a great place. We do we have chefs from New York City come out once a quarter, always different chefs. They just want to see farming. Like, they like to come out here in the snow. it's a fun way to farm. It's a romance farm. I'm 71 and I have no plans to quit. I'm twice retired and this is what I really enjoy doing. I grew up on a farm. We didn't farm like this, but I just enjoy what I do immensely.
Isn't that something, George? So George, then where have you talked and who have you had in your audiences?
Well, when I spoke down in Baton Rouge, it was to a lot of, well, there's 150 professors there from around the country, from Washington State, Oregon, Louisiana, everywhere, Virginia Tech. It was a conference of about 300 people. The picture that I sent to you actually was taken by someone in that crowd when I put it up on the screen, and it went to one of the world-renowned consultants on farming, and he has shown it basically all over the world. I actually pulled up one of his talks where he's using 4 farms from around the U.S., and this is one of them, about how you can make nutrient-dense soils and water retention not being a problem. And then I speak for Penn State several times a year, and then I speak for the National Resource Conservation Service quite a bit, and now the National Fisheries Board has asked me if I would speak them as well.
Mm-hmm. So you were telling me off air and stuff about the different professors and lecturers that you are working with and stuff when you get up there on the stage, and the ones that come before you, and then the ones that come after you, and who has the best response and the best following and all. You want to tell the audience about that?
Yes. When I speak now, especially for the National Resource Conservation Service, it's oftentimes to producers, so that the producers from around the different states, and I've spoken to people from a group in Pennsylvania that came from 5 states, including New Jersey, And they always have a soil scientist go ahead of me, and they know what I'm going to be talking about or have an idea. And they will get down to the nitty points of how this is happening. I'm bringing all these minerals up into the topsoil and stomping down the organic matter and talking about the different fungi, the beneficial fungi and so on, that the way I farm supports and the microbes. And then I'm usually followed by an animal behaviorist who will talk about why animals will go to different species of plants and how you can even train them a little bit to eat. Supposedly, you can even train them to eat thistles. I haven't done that, but they do. They naturally go to things that I've actually done carbohydrate and sugar tests on with the lady who just wrote the magazine, the book. She's a soil scientist from up in Connecticut, The Art and Science of Grazing. We actually went around and tested the sugars and so on in different weeds.
Oh, okay.
And there are now weed professors, you know, because they realize that a lot of these weeds are beneficial. And they might not look pretty in your lawn, or they might not look pretty in your field, but they have benefits. Like a soybean field, for instance, the soybean root's only going down there, I don't know what a soybean root is, 6 to 8 inches, but you might have a weed in there that's taproots down there 3 feet. And so there's just a lot of reasons why they're really trying to change people's thoughts in farming. We have one USDA professor that copies what we do here, clear down in Uruguay and Colombia.
Oh, wow.
So it's being done all over. And even in England, where they just put sheep out on big fells of the mountains, and it's a beautiful system the way it works. And they get so much rain that they don't have to be as careful as us, but they're starting to now. I watched an Irish Farm Journal article on YouTube where they're starting to talk about doing this kind of rotational grazing over there, even with sheep.
Isn't that something? So, George, you started out, what, raising cattle, and you've turned into this, like, soil scientist.
Oh, I love the soils. I didn't know a thing about them when I came home, but they fascinate me now. What how much life there is in the soils, I would have never suspected. All the life that goes on in a foot of ground, it's amazing to me. And the same way with the grasses. I'm fascinated with the grasses and the plants that are native and the ones that do well in different types of soil and how you can hold soils on really steep banks and so on, even with heavy pressure of foot pressure.
Foot pressure like that and all.
Yes.
I know my wife is always saying, you know, you got to get that weed killer and stuff out on the lawn. I'm like, no, I'll, you know, let's let them grow, and then, you know, when they go to seed and stuff, then I'll spread them somewhere else.
Yes. I've done that. I had Canadian thistle here that was a problem. I mean, we had several acres of it, and I didn't want to spray it, so we mowed it with a regular field mower, and it just seemed to get bigger. So after about 3 years of it, I thought, I'm just going to put a whole bunch of cattle in there on one night and put electric poly wire around them so they have to stay in that section. And it was all stomped to the ground when I took them out the next day. And I guess Canadian thistle can't, their root structure can't handle hoof pressure like that. Unlike a grass, it never came back.
Oh.
And we never had to spray it off or cut it off again. It was just gone.
Isn't that something? So inadvertently and stuff, you were able to move things around like that and all. Oh, that's something.
Yeah, we use animals for cleaning up just about everything. Our streams, we fenced the cattle off probably 40 years ago. I don't fish, but I didn't like the way they broke the banks down. So then after a couple of decades, you can hardly tell you have a stream because it's so overgrown that you couldn't even fish it if you wanted to. You get caught in the branches
yeah.
and so on. So I bought sheep because I knew sheep were a natural barrier. Water was a natural barrier to a sheep. So you can make them eat to the edge as far as you want to, so we can control whether we want it to look like a golf course, which we don't, or we do it with sheep. We don't have to go in there with weed whackers or mowers or anything to be able to see the the streams. And in fact, I'm looking at one of them right now, and the sheep are just back from it in the snow. It's just we like to do it all with very natural means.
Yeah. So how much snow did you guys get out there then?
We only got about 5 inches.
5 inches, though. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so we got a lot of ice out here this last little snow through.
No, we're 1,000 feet elevation on the west side of the Appalachians, and we usually get a drier snow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we didn't get any ice. It was all nice. It's actually quite nice snow.
So that snow helps to melt down into the soil. It gets absorbed, and then it helps get those spring weeds and the early germination of the grasses and stuff then.
Yes, it does, and our cattle and sheep graze through it without a problem. Sheep are a little harder if the snow gets deep, but the cattle can graze through 10 inches of snow without any difficulty. And mm-hmm. we do stockpile a lot of grasses for our mama cows in particular.
Right. Now, do you stockpile all that from cuttings that you do right there on your farm?
Well, when I say stockpile, we let we plant some grasses mostly from Denmark, actually, that they'll turn brown when it gets real cold, but they'll keep their nutrient value all the way to green up in the spring. So we can graze those grasses and still keep the condition on the animals. The ones that are gone to market, yes, we keep very high quality baleage from our best grasses that we cut in the summertime.
Wow. So, George, if you were to kind of give a synopsis to the young farmer that's here in Hunterdon County, or the old farmer even, who's like, you know, on the fence about whether he wants to, you know, add more fertilizer to the ground, or if he wants to try this new method that he's hearing for the first time, perhaps from you and all, what would be some encouraging words and maybe some resources that you would have them start off with?
Well, I talk to a lot of farmers in that situation that would like to switch, and I tell them the easier way, rather than going all the way to market, because it takes a lot more labor-intensive work to do market, to start with cow-calf or sheep. Sheep are becoming a good farm product again, as they were in the 50s. And you don't have to have, you know, 400 head in one group to get the 250,000 pounds of pressure. You can actually take 10 animals and you just put them in a smaller area. Getting water to them is more of a problem that way, but and you can do the hoof action and start improving soils with just a few head of animals.
Wow.
Just make it so you can make several paddocks in one field and just rotate them through those paddocks so you don't come back to the first paddock in 35 days minimum, because the parasite that people have to use parasite control for is a 14-day life cycle. It hatches and it climbs up a blade of grass, and by 17 days, if it hasn't been rehosted, reconsumed, it dies. So we have no parasites on our farm, and it's just because we're doing this more natural way of grazing. So I would tell them that, too, to keep the animals from coming back too quickly. I mean, don't come back in a week, for instance. Make it so you can come back in 35 days. You just judge the size of your paddock and put that many animals in there that you can do that work with.
That's incredible. So, George, you're not just a soil person and stuff. You're a fungicidal person. You're a parasite. You're a bug person.
Yes.
How did you ever get enough knowledge like with all this? Like you said, this is all hands-on experience?
Yes.
So trial and error.
I did a lot of research, but it's all hands-on experience. I was over at Penn State asking questions one day, and they said, the guy looked at me and said, you need to be teaching here. I said, no, I don't have time. I don't have time, but I have such a high level of interest in it that I research it, I retain it very easily, and then I write as well about it because it's such a passion for me.
See, and that's the whole thing too, George, and stuff. When you know, when you love what you're doing, it's not work. It's just something that you wake up every morning ready to do. And it sounds like that's what your farm, the Thistle Creek Farm is all about and stuff. You wake up and you know you are engaged with the livestock, with the Mother Earth itself, and all. And how did you come up with that Thistle Creek Farm name?
Well, our family's roots is Scottish, actually, Scottish farmers. And there was a stream here on the farm that had never been named, so they just and the thistle is the national weed in Scotland.
Oh,
the Scottish thistle is actually their national flower, not national weed. Their national flower. You'll see it everywhere. So, you know, being from that area, they just named, and we do have thistles, as you saw in that picture.
Yeah.
They just named it Thistle Creek Farms for this one unnamed stream.
Oh, wow. See, we know how important thistle is, and as far as even with the bird population, you have a lot of your, what are they, the finches and stuff.
Oh, the goldfinches, yes.
They're all over that stuff now.
Yes. That's part of the reason we let them. I just enjoy seeing them. They come here by the dozens.
Oh, beautiful colors, the reds, the blues, the yellows, the whites, the blacks. Ah.
Yes.
Very, very nice. So do you have bald eagles out there?
Oh, we have bald eagles. We have golden eagles, and they get a couple of our lambs every year, but that's just part of nature.
Yeah.
We don't like them doing that. We don't invite them to do that, but they do that. It's just part of the way they are, and it's part of the way we farm. So we assume we're going to lose one or two that way. It's
yeah.
Just the way it is.
Oh, that must be very, very picturesque out there, though.
Oh, it is. Beautiful.
Mm. Now, again, George, where is the Thistle Creek Farm in Pennsylvania located then?
It's in Huntingdon County, down Old Route 45, just about 20 miles southwest of Penn State's main campus on the same, what they call Happy Valley, is actually Spruce Creek Valley, and we live at the bottom end of Spruce Creek Valley.
Oh, okay. All right. Happy Valley, yeah. Exactly. So you're down thing from the Nittany Mountain then?
Yes, just down from the Nittany Lion Mountain or whatever they call it. Nittany Mountains, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I own a piece of that.
Do you really?
Oh, interesting though. Well, George, I got to tell you, I can't wait to see you here at the Brick Farm Tavern Thursday night meeting that you're going to be having. And that's what? Meet the Maker, I believe, right?
Yes, called Meet the Maker.
So I know John has been excited about getting that whole series going, and they put together the Hopewell Theater. They've renovated that, and they're going to be doing some shows out of there even in things. And I think they did a documentary, something about Farmers for America.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've heard nothing. I've not been there, but I've heard nothing but good things.
So yeah.
Everyone who's, and I have friends that live in Princeton that I worked with when I flew for United and down in Ocean City and all that, and they've all been there, and they all talk very highly of it. I haven't been, but so I'm excited to go myself.
Yeah, this should be a nice gathering then and all. And you were talking about an Alan Savory?
Alan Savory, yes. There's a 22-minute video called Desertification, like desertification. Desertification. He was an animal biologist from South America. He gives one of the best talks about what we do here. South Africa, I mean. He does one of the best talks of the type of farming that we do, and they have brought back, his group has brought back 15 million hectares of desert. And really, what we do here, I think, is the way to feed the world, not having, GMOs and all that sort of thing. It's a very intriguing because he actually had a South African government put down 40,000 elephants. He said, "I'll take that to my grave." He said, "I thought it was elephants and livestock that were destroying the landscape." He said, "I was a." Exactly the opposite was true.
Isn't that something?
Yes, and he has some interesting photos. It's well worth 22 minutes. I can't think of another video that's more compelling.
Isn't that something? You are just like a resource of a wealth of knowledge here in all, George.
Well, it's a passion. As my wife always says, it's such a passion for you, and it is. I just enjoy working. I've worked since I was six, so I'm not real... that's what I like to do. That's my hobby.
Excellent. So, George, if our radio audience listeners wanted to get more information or talk to you or come visit you and stuff, is there some way that they can get a hold of you, like a website or an email or something?
Thistle Creek Farms with an S. You have to have an S there. ThistleCreekFarms.com. And if they want to see our dogs in action, there's a great video on there done by A&E out of New York. They called here about our dogs. They'd heard from some chefs and so on about our dogs. They have a, there's a four-minute video under working dogs on that website, actually, that's very well done. I didn't even know if I wanted to do it because they said it was a voiceover. It sounded kind of corny. I didn't actually even know who A&E was. And I said, who is this? And they said, Arts and Entertainment. Then I was like, oh, then I recognized the name. But they came out here. It was a great group of six people. We were here for a couple of days and just did a very nice video for YouTube.
Wow. Excellent.
It's on our website, Thistle Creek Farms with an S.com.
All right. So, George, we're about wrapping up here with time for the show and all. So, again, if anybody really wants to see George in action personally up close and stuff, you need to come to the Brick Farm Tavern in Hopewell, New Jersey, this coming Thursday night, February the 8th at 6 o'clock p.m., and George is going to be there live and in person and able to field any of your questions. So any of our farmers here in Hunterdon County, please feel free to get a hold of George's vast knowledge and you really put him to the test here about what he can suggest you do for your farm and all. And, George, this was an amazing hour, and it just flew by and stuff. And, again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Doctor. It was great to talk to you. I enjoyed it.
All righty. So with that, George, we're going to be signing off. And, again, everybody, this is Get Healthy Hunterdon, and this is Dr. Miola from Nutrimost of Flemington, Hunterdon County's most experienced health care provider. All right. Very good.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Philadelphia Eagles winning the Super Bowl for the first time in the franchise history.
I mean, it's a big game. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than this. So the big thing that helped me was knowing that I didn't have to be Superman. I have amazing teammates, amazing coaches around me.
That's winning quarterback Nick Foles following the Eagles' 41-33 victory in Super Bowl 52 over the New England Patriots. Now word is some of the players are already indicating that they won't take part in the traditional White House visit, citing their opposition to President Trump, among them wide receiver Torrey Smith. President Trump heaps praise on the Republican chairman of the House Intelligence Panel. The president tweets this morning that Devin Nunes is a man of tremendous courage and grit who may someday be recognized as an American hero. Nunes was behind the release of the controversial Republican memo that alleges government surveillance abuses against a former Trump campaign aide. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many plans nationwide, Walgreens offers copays as low as $0 on select plans. So switching your prescriptions to Walgreens will be worth the trip. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, so you could be saving big. Switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. $0 copays apply to Tier 1 generics.